Welcome to Coffee Table Mythos. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Leah.
For our new listeners, where can they find us?
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, coffeetablemythos@gmail.com, anchor.fm, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. How can they support us?
By liking, following, sharing, subscribing, and reviewing our podcast. Reviewing our podcast helps others find us so that our family can grow. Also, let us know if you have any coffee or caffeinated beverage suggestions, especially small businesses that ship. Come interact with us.
You can use our hashtag CoffeeTableMythos to show us your cool art of the entities we cover. Email us to let us know what you want to hear about, or message us on Instagram or Facebook. What about merch?
For now, visit us on Teespring at teespring.com/store/coffee-table-mythos for shirts, hoodies, stickers, and more. Leah is testing out prototypes so that we can make our own merch soon. You can also donate to us at anchor.fm/coffee-table-mythos/support. All donations will go to making this podcast better.
And with that,
grab your favorite beverage and let's talk myths. What you drinking today?
We finally tried out the Bones Coffee birthday cake. And it was good. But I also use flavored creamer, so.
Chocolate caramel creamer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had an extra special birthday cake.
Yeah.
Coffee. And what are you drinking?
I am drinking lemon buttercream tea with honey. And it's in my new PlayStation mug that has a PlayStation remote as the handle.
Yep.
I love it. I got it from Five and Below. Yep. You got your Stitch one and I got my PlayStation.
All right. So, this week is Norse Week. And I was going to do another topic, but it didn't feel like there was enough to do half an episode on it. So, instead, I am going to tell you about Heimdall.
Nice.
Yes. The hottie played by Idris Elba in the Marvel movies.
Okay.
Which, spoiler alert, based on the translated descriptions that are argued over, he is called the whitest one, brightest one, or glittering one.
Wow.
But, honestly, who wouldn't rather Idris Elba versus some pasty vampire wannabe?
I immediately was thinking the Cullen family from Twilight. And I was like, that's bad, but hilarious.
So, according to myth, he is born of 9 mothers, sisters according to the Prose Edda. You may be asking.
How?
How is one born from 9 mothers?
Oh my gosh, what?
And that's a very good question that leads to some very interesting debates among scholars.
I'm picturing a Mamma Mia situation from how you just explained that.
No. It's basically he's a god, so these things can happen for gods, but not for mortals.
These things do happen.
So, one of the things that Heimdall is associated with is water and waves.
Oh.
Some scholars believe that his 9 mothers are the 9 daughters of Aegir and Ron. The daughters are the personification of waves.
Okay.
Which would make him born of the sea. He's discussed in chapter 25 of Gylfaginning, in which a character named High tells the disguised Gangleri about the 9 mothers by way of referencing the now mostly lost poem Heimdall ar Galdr.
I literally referenced the same book.
Do you really?
Yeah, different chapter though.
Mm. Quote, "Offspring of 9 mothers am I, of 9 sisters I am the son," end quote.
That is ridiculousness.
These are the only surviving lines of that poem. Not the Gylfaginning, the Heimdall ar Galdr.
Okay.
Which was, from what we're gathering by the name of it, was supposed to be all about him. And only those 2 lines, which are immortalized in a different story, have survived of the original poem. Does that make sense?
That does, but I have a lot of questions. But, like, no one can answer them.
Right.
So... Okay. Please continue.
Another thought-provoking idea is that in many places, the white foam on waves is sometimes referred to as different types of animals, such as white horses or cows or sheep. And Heimdall is also associated with sheep and rams. So this could be another connection between Heimdall, the water, his birth, and sheep.
I was worried you were going to say something else. I'm referring to a TikTok I saw the other day, and it's not something that needs to be repeated.
Good. All right, so this is probably going to be butchered because it's French, and that is not one of the languages I have ever studied.
Okay.
Georges Dumézil, who is a French folklorist, says, "To make the ninth wave the ram of the simple ewes that are the eight preceding waves," end quote.
French, please don't come at us. We're trying. I just imagine someone being like, that's the worst pronunciation of that name I've ever heard.
And this is a combination found in Wales of both an example of the sheep named waves and the fact that certain waves are stronger, hence the first eight would be the mothers and the ninth would birth the strong ram wave.
Damn.
However, according to NorseMythology.org, this theory of him being the son of the daughters of the sea runs into the problem of the names not matching up. But John Lindau suggests that it's possible that they are the same mothers but in different story traditions, as the mothers are described as sisters and the personified waves are sisters too.
Okay.
So, if he is the grandson of Aegir and Ron, then he is part Jotun, which isn't exactly special as most Aesir are Jotun to some extent.
Right.
So, besides being described as brightest, whitest, or glittering, he is described as a good advisor, such as when he assists in planning how to retrieve Freya's prized necklace. It is said his hearing is so good that he can hear sheep's wool and grass grow, though he may be missing an ear that he sacrificed to the well beneath Yggdrasil, as Odin did his eye.
Okay.
And this is due, like, the uncertainty of that is due to the debate over a translation of the word Hyljolf. And I probably said that wrong. So that's spelled H-L-J-O-D with the little line through its stem, which can be translated as both horn, which he has a special horn, or hearing. And they said that if it's hearing, is it like literal, like his ear was left or sacrificed? Or is it like an abstract thing, like he gave up part of his hearing at the well? So because of that debate, he may or may not have both ears still attached to his head.
Okay.
He has gold teeth, a sword called Hofuth, which means head, and a horse called Gulltopper, who has a golden mane. His job is to guard the edge of the gods' territory and let them know of any intruders. He also carries a horn with which he is to herald the beginnings of Ragnarok. He lives in Himinbjorg, his home where the Bifrost that he guards touches the sky. And it is noted that in his home he has fine mead.
All right.
So, besides heralding the beginning of Ragnarok with his horn when he sees the Jotun crossing the Bifrost, he is also described as fighting Loki during Ragnarok. And it is said that they will kill each other as the world burns and sinks into the sea.
Wow.
Another story involving Heimdall may be the Rigsthule. The reason I specify may is because there's a debate as to whether or not this is about Heimdall or Odin. According to Dr. Jackson Crawford, who considers this to be a tale about Heimdall, Heimdall, under the name of Rigger, goes on a journey and stays with three couples. He stays the night with each couple for a few days, sleeping in the same bed. 9 months later, the women each give birth to a child, and this is considered the beginning of the hierarchies of man. The first child and their descendants go on to become thralls and do the most unpleasant tasks. They are described in very not great vocabulary.
Okay.
The second child and their descendants go on to become kind of the middle class. And the third child and their descendants go on to be the ruling class or jarls.
Okay.
One of his children is eventually claimed by him, and Heimdall teaches him runes. That jarl goes on and has 12 children. The youngest learns runes from him and also many skills such as the ability to speak to birds. One day, he is out hunting birds and a crow tells him that he would win more if he stopped hunting birds and started hunting men, because then he could take the things from the dead men. And that is where the warrior class is born, like Vikings. The reason, as I was saying before, that it's disputed is because generally we see Heimdall staying home, guarding Asgard in the Bifrost, and wanderings are more attributed to Odin.
Mm-hmm.
This is editing Leah. I accidentally missed a whole section of my research when we were originally recording, so this is the last chunk being added in during edit, in case the sound quality sounds a little bit different between parts. He is also attested to in the Lokasenna, where Loki is flighting with all the people present, and at one point, Heimdall says to Loki that he's drunk and witless, and why won't he stop speaking? Which is really funny, because it makes me think of the Marvel movies where everyone's saying that Loki talks so much. And Loki shoots back that Heimdall needs to shut up, and will always serve as just the watchman for the gods, and that he was granted a hateful life by the fates. At which point, the person seated next to Heimdall, which was Skadi, makes an interjection, and the poem continues on. Another time he is discussed is in the story where Thor loses his hammer, and they have to figure out how they're going to get it back. And it is Heimdall that suggests that they dress Thor up as Freya, put Freya's necklace on him, and send him to be, quote, married off, and then he can get his Mjolnir back. And the last mention I'm probably going to say happens in the Húsdrápa, which is a poem from the Prose Edda talking about the theft of Freya's prize necklace by Loki. So, in that, Freya wakes up one day and sees that her necklace is missing and asks Heimdall for help. And when they find the thief, it turns out to be Loki, who's surprised. And Loki is in the form of a seal. So, Heimdall also turns into a seal and fights Loki. And after the battle, Heimdall wins and he returns the necklace to Freya.
And that is a little about Heimdall. These days, as I'm sure you're all aware, he is in the Marvel comics and movies. And I found something while I was researching that just kind of grabbed my attention and wouldn't let go. And it's actually the first thing I wrote down this week when I was researching. And that's that a lead spindle whorl was found in Saltfleetby, England in 2010. It was for making yarn and had an inscription on it that mentioned Heimdall, Odin, and Thjalfi. It's been traced back to 1000 to 1100 CE.
Mm.
And it just intrigues me. Like, who did you belong to? Why were you decorated with the gods' names? Like, was it for teaching children stories while you were spinning? Or was it a child's that really liked those characters? Like, how hard would it be to carve into lead? Or was it forged with the names already on it? If it was forged, was it like from a cast and more were made and we only found one of them? Would that decoration have been expensive to buy, or did they make it themselves? This little whirl just stole my attention and curiosity and won't let go, but it's been 1,000 years, and we likely won't find any more information about the owners.
Sounds about right.
So, that's a little bit about Heimdall.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Him and Loki were not friends. There's other references to him fighting with Loki, and it's just crazy. It's like we potentially could have had a whole poem that was all about him, and it's lost except for two lines that were saved in a different poem.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of text like that now, though.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
It's unfortunate that a lot of stuff can be lost that way because, you know, not everything is carved into stone.
Was that a joke?
Can you imagine, like, someone as prolific as Alexander Hamilton having to, like, chisel it into stone?
I just imagined a cave full of just words, and I'm like, no.
Oh, God, it'd be so obnoxious. And you know what would have happened? He would have come up with some sort of shorthand, and we'd be looking at it, trying to decipher it.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah. So that's that. And when we come back from our commercial, Eliza is going to be telling us about...
goats!
Goats! All right.
And we're back.
Tell me about the goats.
The goats. Now, originally, I was only going to talk about two goats, but that changed because it didn't feel like there was enough material, and I was a little salty about it. So I wrote about three goats. Okay. Now, if I mispronounced their names, I am sorry. We are first talking about the goats that belong to Thor. Their names are Tangrisnir and Tengjostr. Tangrisnir means teeth thin, or one that have gaps between the teeth, or could also be teeth bearer or snarler. And then Tengjostr means teeth grinder, or one that grinds teeth. They are Thor's goats that pull his chariot in both prose and poetic Edda.
Mm-hmm.
In the poetic Edda, he is mentioned in two poems, although they are not named. In the poem Himiskvitha, Thor secures the goats with a human named Idgil in Midgard, before Thor and Tyr continue to Jotun Heimir's hall. And they are described as having a splendid horns, and Thor is later referred to as Lord of Goats. After killing Heimir and his army of many heads, Thor's goats collapse half-dead due to lameness due to a story involving Loki. And here the poet states that someone wiser could tell that story. And that story is actually in the Prose Edda. So in the Prose Edda, chapter 21 of the book Gylfaginning, the enthroned figure of Hai,
I referenced.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So there's actually what Hai is referring to are these three seats, right? Three men that respond to questions posed by Gangleri, who's King Gylfi in disguise. Hai is the lowest throne, and Hai is divulging the names of Thor's two goats. Then in chapter 44 is where you get the story of what happened to the lameness. The enthroned figure of Third, which is the highest throne, tells the story of Thor and Loki riding in Thor's chariot pulled by the two goats. They stop at a peasant farmer's home, where they are given lodging for the night. For food, Thor, Mama Llama, please cover your ears, slaughters the two goats, skins them, and puts them in a pot. When cooked, Thor and Loki sit to have the meal, and they invite the peasant family to eat with them. So they come and they accept the invitation, they eat with Thor and Loki. So at the end of the meal, Thor throws the skins of the goats on the opposing side of the fire, and tells everyone to put the goat bones onto the goat skins. Now he instructs them, or warns them, in multiple versions that I found, not to eat the marrow from the bones, because that would involve breaking the bones.
Mm-hmm.
Loki tells the son to eat the bone marrow, so the boy takes one of the ham bones and uses a knife to split it open, which broke the bone, in order to get to the marrow. The next morning, Thor wakes up before the break of dawn, and uses his hammer Mjolnir, and raises it to bless the goat skins. This resurrects the goats, however one of the goats has a lame hind leg. Thor gets pissed, and states someone has mistreated the bones of his goat. And at this point, Third states there is no need to draw out the tale because we can imagine how terrified the peasants were as Thor gripped Mjolnir, knuckles white, and the peasants were begging for grace and offered to atone with all of their possessions. Realizing how terrified the peasant family was, Thor calms down and accepts the children, which is the son and the daughter of the peasant farmer, as his servants to pay his settlement. And from that day forward, they were Thor's servants, and here Thor leaves the goats behind as all the rest of them go to Jotunheim. In chapter 48, Thor is described setting out to Midgard in the form of a young boy without his goats or companions. And that's all I found about that in mentioning the goats.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to talk about Heathrun, who is a goat that consumes foliage, specifically the buds, of the tree Lerather, which scholars possibly believe is synonymous with Yggdrasil, and produces mead for the Einherjar, which are those that go to Valhalla. And she is also both in prose and poetic Edda. In the prose Edda, it pretty much literally says what I just described the goat as.
Okay.
That's it. In the poetic Edda, she is mentioned two times. In Grimnismal, she is described, Heathrun, the goat on the hall that stands, eateth off Lerath's limbs, the crocks she fills with cleared mead, will that drink not e'er be drained? It is assumed that due to Snorri quoting other strophes of Grimnismal, that he knew this strophe as well and used it as his description of Heathrun. And that is exactly how they wrote it. They said strophe.
What's a strophe?
It's a poem thing.
So
basically he stole it.
He knew those lines from a poem and yeah, he repurposed them.
He repurposed them, yes. Okay, so in the Hinluljulf, the giantess Hinla literally means bitch or she-dog.
Oh, dang.
Used the term Heathrun to insult the goddess Freya.
Ew.
Some translations actually translated this name to she-goat. The giantess states, To Othi didst thou run, who loved thee ever, and many under thy apron have crawled. My noble one, out in the night thou leapest, as Heathrun goes, the goats among. My translation is the giantess was basically calling Freya a slut, and I think that's rude.
Dang, that's intense.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so today in modern depictions, you can find Tengrisnir and Tengnjostr in Marvel Comics when Thor must transport passengers or objects. In Yu-Gi-Oh!, they are represented as Nordic Beast monster cards, used in conjunction with other cards of characters and creatures from Norse mythology, for example, Thor. They are called Marvin and Otis in Rick Riordan's book Magnus Chase and the Gods of Asgard, the Sword of Summer. And in God of War 2018, there is a blade pommel called Grip of Tangnjost that causes shock damage for the Leviathan axe. They also appear in a Danish comic series called Valhalla and an animated feature based on the series. That was really short. This is going to be a short episode. And I'm sorry in advance, but I was like trying to put more creatures in this time. I was like, goats! And I know that they do like Thor goat figures for like Christmas. In Scandinavia, and I know this is more Halloween time, but I thought the goats looked pretty cool. There's a lot more about Thor I didn't know before I started doing this research. Mm. There's a lot more involved. Anywho's it.
I remember we very briefly touched on the fact that because the goat was harmed, that's how he got his servants. I think it was in the one where they went to the place and it was like a castle that ended up disappearing and he fought old age.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I'm sorry. There's like three different ones where he goes to a king. So I was trying to figure out which one you were talking about.
I don't remember why we talked about it.
I think we were talking about like the great feats. I can't remember. It was like more of a story.
The cauldron was when we talked about Jormungandr. So maybe it was when I talked about Jormungandr because...
That has to be it, yeah.
He was told to lift up something that didn't look heavy and he held it all the way up and it ended up being
Yes, that makes more sense. So eventually we will talk more about Thor. It's just, that's like one more piece.
Are we surprised that Loki was involved? Absolutely not.
Anywho's it. So what's your something to brighten the mood?
We got a game. This is how it played out. We were looking for something completely different because I was, I don't think craving is the word I want to say, but like I really, really wanted to play
Mario Kart
and we don't have Nintendo like
consoles.
At all. Yeah. So we were looking on the PlayStation store to see if there's anything similar. And Eliza's just, you know, clicking right to see what's all in there. And she passes something that said, Puzzle Bubble 3D, something like that. And it had this little blue and little green dragon on them. And I was like, hold up. I know those fucking dragons. Click on that. So we go inside and it's like one of those, you know, normal bubble games where you connect the colors to make them pop. And I was like, okay, so that's not the original game, but I wonder if they ever did a remake or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I Google it because those two guys are from a game called Bubble Bobble. Back in the day, it was originally for the PlayStation 1. And my sister used to play it with me, my middle sister. And I was really bad at it because I was little. So she would basically carry me through the 100 levels. And you would play as the green and blue little dragon. And you blow bubbles at the monsters. And then you pop the bubbles and you get snacks like fruit and ice cream and cakes. And you can get necklaces. And it's really cool. But it was a PlayStation 1 game. So it's very pixely. Well, they did remake it a couple years ago, and you can play it as the arcade version, which is the original 100 levels, and then they have 50 levels easy and then 50 levels hard, new.
By couple, you mean last year, because it came out 2020.
Apparently, it came out last year.
Yeah.
And I had no idea, and we just found it yesterday, and we've already played it a whole bunch and got my sister to buy it, and she had to, like, set up the whole PlayStation system and
how to do play share.
Learn how to do all this stuff so that we could play together. Mm-hmm. So that's what we got to do yesterday, and I was really excited.
I want to make a TikTok off of that last hard mode boss, because that is some ridiculousness. We were up late last night playing that game.
Yeah. So, Eliza, give me something to brighten the mood. Are you going to tell me about the babies?
So, we were up really late last night, and then we woke up really early because Mama Llama wanted to go by a certain time to the apple orchard. And at the apple orchard, they had my baby pumpkins. So I helped with picking the apples. But I like getting the baby pumpkins, and I like having them year-round because they're my babies. So I got, like, 6 pumpkins, and we got some honey, and we got fudge. And we got beef sticks for you and Dova.
Yeah, Dova got a dog-friendly venison, like, jerky.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And then I got beef sticks.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. I'm really excited about them. I call them my babies. My little pumpkins.
Ones we got last year, actually, we got 3.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 of them had actually survived until today.
Yeah.
And we just got rid of them today when you put the new ones down.
All right, and with that, this is Coffee Table Mythos. We'll catch you next time.